I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
We are back for yet another round preview. It's weird to be doing this on a Wednesday, Ado, but what a week of footy that was. Very, very long. Thursday to Tuesday with a Monday off. It was a very, very strange round. Some great games of footy, some shocking Supercoach carnage to come out of it, but that is the game we know and love. How are we?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Look, it was another week of Green Arrow, so you can't be too upset. It was a weird round, like you said. You had that little pause break to recharge in between.
Start some fights on Twitter.
Yeah, a bit of Twitter. NRL Supercoach was pretty fun yesterday. And look, I flopped on the good. There's a bit of floppy captain work, and I put that in one of my points. You know, sometimes I rue that I didn't take the safe old 100, 110, you know, the VC. I've always been a real sort of got to be 130, 140 to do it because of our AEs. But look, even someone like Ben Murdoch-Masilla, they're getting 20s and 30s.
Mate, so Ben Murdoch-Masilla is the new cash cow. He's back.
Yeah. So, no, I'm good. I'm pumped for this week. It is a tricky old week, I'll tell you that much now, with what we already know is out, but we've got a whole lot of other stuff that's rumoured as well, so it's going to be a real...
A lot of monsters under the bed that people might be very, very scared of come 24 hours before a certain Penrith game. We'll touch on that today. However, there are some things that we do know, and let's have a chat about what's going on around the league. All right. So Turbo, he has done his groin. He's done a hip point, done a groin, done this, done that. He is questionable, and he needs to pass a fitness test to play. So he's been named. So people, I'm sure, are banking on him playing. And if he doesn't, then far out, we are screwed and depth is tested. The next thing is there are some whispers, Ado, some little whispers getting around, that some of the Penrith boys will be put on ice for the week, most notably Mitch Kenny and one Nathan Cleary. Now, nothing official from the club, but in this day and age where journalists don't know the be-all and end-all, it does pay to have some connections. And, you know, your mail suggests that Cleary is, you know, less than a 50-50 chance of playing. I've heard similar. I don't want to confirm or deny it, but it's difficult. This week with captaincy, obviously Cleary has the golden matchup. But if you captain him, he doesn't play, you lose out on Hines.
Well, that's right. That's such a hard thing. I mean, look, hopefully you get the mail that he's out. See, this is the weird thing. If they knew beforehand that he was going to rest because of the groin last week, why the friggin' hell are they naming him at all? And Cleary Ivan type, he loves to play these sort of games. All I will say is that he played last week with the groin. That's why Crichton was kicking goals. So why didn't he skip last game?
But the problem is his kicking game looked fine. Like he was rocking up bombs all night long, and he looked fine. I think the interesting thing is, I think Rugby League Guru made note of this, and a couple of other Penrith fans have sort of pointed it out. They've gutted the New South Wales Cup team. Jack Cogger's on the reserve bench. They've picked a few other ones. I mean, Sonny Taruva picked up the ankle sprain very late in the game last week, and so he's, you know, questionable. Yeah, Mitch Kenny's got some doubts over his head, so there's just a lot of iffy and, you know, touch and go. And I posted on Twitter before we recorded this, if you're a betting man, the Tigers currently are plus 18.5 underdogs. Look, I don't expect them to win, but, you know, if all these names are out, that line comes in drastically. So not a bad time to pick them up. So definitely a wait and see on Cleary, but also a wait and see on Turbo. A couple of other, you know, tough ones, especially if you're big on your Melbourne Storm players, but you also own Tohu and CNK, you're very, very screwed this week because Tohu has redone, and I wouldn't say redone his MCL, he's aggravated the same knee that he was off with a couple of weeks ago. And CNK has picked up a Category 2 HIA. However, it's his second concussion in less than 3 months. So that, you know, is going to result in 11-day stand down. They also play 2 games in 11 days. So CNK looks like he's going to be out for 2 games, barring exemption. And then they have a bye pretty much in round 12. So he's going to miss 9, 10, and 12. It does beg the question, do we sell him? And I'm sure we'll touch on that. Just to add insult to injury, Ado, Payne Haas suspended for a week as well. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, now. I've got CNK and Haas. So
you got, do you have Grant?
Yes.
You got Katoa?
No.
You got Meany?
No. Nah.
You got Welch?
No. Nah.
You got Munster?
No.
Nah. You dodged a bullet there. I know a few teams. I know a few teams out there that've got probably, you know, yeah, before the Turbo and Cleary, they've got like 7 or 8 that are out.
Sad.
It's rough. Depth is tested. And lastly, Isaac Punga has torn his pec, or not torn, but you know, done his pec. Looks like he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. So someone like a Tyrone Peachy, maybe.
Peach.
The Peach. 2023 relevancy up through the roof.
Back straight into the sentence, yeah.
100%. Let's have a look at the 10 things that we learned from the week gone by. Depth is key. All it takes is one bye, a niggle here or there, a HIA, a groin, and a weird coach. And all of a sudden, you're struggling to field a team. You're not even deciding between Davey Mamali and Sonny Luke. You're forced to play both of them.
Yeah, they're two of your main players.
Captaincy options. Number two, bye. Start bye planning now. Because if you leave it to around 11, round 12, you're going to be, oh shit, I've only got 7 or 8 players. And so now is the perfect time. If you can, just load up on Parramatta guys. They play rounds 13, 16, and 19. So Parramatta guys are the way to go. I think there are a couple of others that play the first 2 buys as well. So definitely start planning your trades around those. And you'll notice that with my content especially, I'm not too sure sort of how you're focusing on your buys, on like if you're buying players on your social pages. But definitely for me, I think people will notice a trend. The last 2 weeks have just been round 13 guys. If you're tossing up between player A and player B, then you know definitely go player A that plays the bye. Number three, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is, Ado. And I know this one stings for you because Turbo against the Tigers on paper looked like the matchup of the year. But that old age-old saying, if it's too good to be true, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, and it, even like you know, it looks too good to be true that you can't. You got to go with the crowd. You're like, well, that's a tried. Tested, you know, theory, but I wanted to go Manu, and I would have worked out a lot better if I did it. Look, sometimes you go what you fear more than what I'd rather fail together with everyone else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, that was the case with me and Valentine Holmes, like at the start of the season. I can't complain about him too much. And I was also tossing up between sort of Lockie Miller and Nick Meany, and both those two sort of worked out the exact same. So I didn't get burnt too hard there. But it sort of leads into our next point. Gambling on weather is a brave man's game. That's why, you know, it might get a little bit looking like a desperado, but looking at weather does help. The rains came tumbling in.
Yeah.
In the Manly game, the rains came tumbling in, mate.
And when it does, like, that's the thing. Sometimes it depends on the ground and it depends on the type of rain. But there is sometimes certain grounds and certain types of rain that just put the brakes completely on Supercoach scoring. So that's the case. And I always have a bit of a look at the weather, but it looked terrific at the start of the game, didn't it? And then it went sour. So, you know, that's just one of those things you have to cop on the chin.
Yeah, it's tough. It's always tough. Just playing a captaincy later in the week because you're gambling on things going your way. And it sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. However, one thing that we did gamble on was Joey Manu being back to his best at 5'8", and boy, oh boy, did he deliver. I think this one was pretty good for all parties involved. If you're an owner, you're very happy with the 90. If you're a captainer, you're happy with the 90. And if you're a non-owner, he still lost money at the end of the day. So it's sort of a win-win-win for everyone in a weird sense, but him back to 5'8", he's just electric.
Yep, I'm glad to have brought him in last week. And I mean, look, I would have had him in, and not a lot of other people would have had him in if he wasn't moved to 5'8". Mm-hmm. But it looks like that's going to be going forward. We've seen the team list and he's still there and no Sam Walker. Look, number six, it's sometimes a forced thing, but changing your trade plans is inevitable. A lot of people have it pegged that they're going to do no trades this week, or you might have been trying to hold player A until this point in the time where you'd then flip him to someone else. Maybe you've got to change your plans a little bit. I was forced when Tohu was out because I was relying on Utikamana as my second front row. Then I had to move on, you know, getting Haas in. Now I've lost Haas. It's only a week, but I was always planning on flipping him to Tapani, who I'm going to get for the buys at a certain point, because we know Haas is, I mean, he's got to be a lock surely for Origin in the kind of form he's in. So maybe you pull the trigger on those things a little bit earlier. Have forced, because you do, it's the kind of year where you lose someone like a C&K might have been locked in for you for your round 13s, but losing a guy for three, a buy and two stand down rounds is pretty, that's a lot of time to lose someone. He's got fairly decent value, so you might have to change your plans a little bit. Number seven, this year the loop of the popular VC, he's actually won in the loop calculator a few times. So I don't know about you, I have a number in mind when I think about a VC, particularly when you've got these Carpereras and the Warbricks on the bench. But I reckon sometimes getting those points on the, in the bank might be the go this year, because it doesn't seem to you like the score. It's certainly not Volandi's ball, but even, you know, a week ago it was top score of a 120 for Trell. And what was our biggest score this week?
It was Crichton with a 140, but, you know, very, very unknown. You mentioned that. Let me have a look at, so last year was sort of a good year for me. I came 140th. I'll quickly read out some of the scores from last year, because, you know, round six I put up 1250, round seven I put up a 1558, you know, round nine I put up a 1300. So, like, yeah, the scores are down. I mean, fuck, mate, I'd kill for a 1500 right about now.
Oh, mate, a 1500 now would be perfect. But that's what I'm saying. I was sort of 130. If someone says, oh, it's a 120, I'm like, nah, not doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you punch it into the loop calculator, it says loop, and it's like 10 points off. And all your scenarios that you go in, if they all come off, you know, you get a 300. As long as you err on the side of way unders on the scores that you expect from your captain or the person that you're going to drop and stuff, I reckon now, if that loop calculator is anything within 10 of that, I reckon do it.
What's the saying? Two in the hand is better than one in the bush, or I don't know, some shit. But yeah, basically, it's especially now when people are playing like a dodgy 17th man, like people's benches aren't filled, so they're playing a fucking Josh Schuster for a 22 points. So you might as well just take the loop, because Schuster's going to be your AE anyway. So
anyway, yeah. So I think that might be a little bit of a strategy for me doing probably from this week. If I pick a good VC and I land it, I'm just going to take it, because this week, you know, I could have taken that VC. I went obviously with the crowd on the fear of Turbo, and when it didn't work out, even the best captain anyway didn't do better than the one I was, or could have just grabbed on a VC. It sucks. You may have a serviceable backup, and you don't actually need to trade just to trade, you know. So technically, I could just sit Haas for this week and play Ben Murdoch Masilla in my front row. Scored a 49 or whatever last week.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, is 25 points really worth a trade?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to add in into that part B, which is Haas is going to go off to Origin, but that's not, well, now it's going to be four more weeks away, is it?
Yeah, he's still got a little bit.
Yeah, you've got a little bit of time that you could still have Haas. He's looking like an absolute weapon, and the plan was always to get him off to a Tarpany, but in this instance, I could technically just save a trade this week, and I know Haas is going to be back next week. It's not injured. He's just suspended for a week, so your answer of whether Ben Murdoch Masilla is serviceable might be different to my attitude on that, but
I bought Jake Granville last week, so ask me what my level of serviceable is.
But I mean, I've got Jarrod Croker, and I'm scared of not playing Jarrod Croker, because I was like, well, I can have Jarrod Croker on the bench, and I'll have C and K.
Yeah. The thing is, like,
it means I'm going to have to play Croker, but he's scored 40 in his first two games.
Yeah, you know, Croker's not going to let you down. Like, he's probably got 16, 20 points in him just for goal kicking. So,
yeah, it's not the hardest matchup in the world. So that's all my only point on that is that you if you can try to stay on your plan and you can use one of these backups that's going to do a serviceable job, it's not that you throw that round. You just really value trading for trade's sake. You know, you just say, well, there's no need to do that. I'll stick to my original plan and I'll just play a Croker instead of, you know, buying someone you know, less than who I should, I'd want to, you know, make a trade or a Haas one where I wanted to keep him, actually. So just think about it, I reckon. Just because they named, it doesn't mean they'll play. And look, they're only whispers at this stage, but I know you and I, we don't really talk about, you know, what we're going to do on the show or anything, but we were talking about what we heard in the mail and stuff, and we'd both heard the same sort of stuff, the same sort of whispers, and we made scenarios in our team, who if we're going to play other players. And if Cleary's out or if Turbo's out, what are we going to do? So yeah, these guys are named, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be.
And that's the thing, though. Like, in 2023, everyone's much more connected. Like, gone are the days where the journalists knew everything in the ins and outs. Like, I'm in the content creator space, so is Ado. I know a lot of the boys that make content for the NRL teams, and they spend a lot of time at trainings and whatnot. So it is nice to get, you know, a little bit of insight. Nothing's official. I'm not saying that fucking he's out. It's just, you know, it's looking like if it was a 50-50 call, it'd be, you know, less than likely. But yeah, definitely have a plan. Hey, if you want a Captain Cleary, and fuck, if he comes out and brains it against the Tigers, and fair play, you got bigger balls than me, and I've shown that I've got, I don't know, decently sized ones when it comes to Supercoach opinions, but I just worry captaining him with the uncertainty, because
yeah, I mean, look, let's assume that you do stay on him, and that means you miss the Nicho Hynes.
The problem is Nicho plays around the game one. Like, if Nicho plays game one, he is locked. It's not like he plays a game or two before him. He plays game one. If Cleary's ruled out on, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, you're fucked.
Yeah, well, Captain Joey Manu again.
Yes, that would help. But then you get a free look at a loop. So. And what's the last one?
I got a number 10. Ease up, Turbo. That's my point. This is a super coach. This is a super coach thing. Kronk was proof that you can be an elite actual player, but you're not super coach relevant. You and I, and a lot of the content creators out there put out, you know, we make statements. Oh, you and I were having a look at Teddy. I sold Teddy for Walsh so long ago, you know, and I already had the thought that maybe the scoring wasn't there, or it wasn't there for the start of the year. Maybe he comes good as the year goes on. But I think he's showing his age a little bit. So posing the question of maybe his super coach credentials are going down, he's still an absolute bloody weapon super coach. Oh, I'm a Raiders fan. We just lost White. Well, I'll take Teddy. We nearly had him once. But everybody gets so butthurt when you make a call. But what you want us all to get on and just say, you know, okay, here's the score from game one. You know, like, we got to put calls out there.
Bro, stop sitting on the fucking fence, man. Stop sitting on the fence. Yeah. And that's my... look, if people are on Twitter, I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to, you know, actually give opinions. Don't sit on the fucking fence. Just give your opinion. If it's wrong, cop it. If it's right, then gloat.
But I mean, I invite everyone. If I say to you, sell blah, and old mate goes out and scores 110, you can go, AD, you're a fucking idiot.
But don't you dare. Don't you dare, when he scores 15 points and you held him, don't you dare expect, you know, not to cop it back. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it is the beast, and we all banter. And I love it. I love if I give you a bum steer, you come and give me a serve, and they do. All of my followers come and give me a serve, but I tell you what, if I give you a good one, you come and lick my balls a bit, you know. And a bloke the other day was asking me for tips. I was like, look, man, I've got to go. I'm not here as your employee. I know Ado's superb and he's a champion and everything. And he was like, yeah, you're in like 9,000. Bro, I'm in the top 200. Thanks, though.
Good for you.
You know, so, there's a lot. Always going to be rank chat. There's always going to be people throwing out big calls. A lot of what we do is speculative. And how people do well as super coaches by predicting what someone's going to do. I was talking to Sabs on the chat the other night, and he brought in Adam Fanua Blake a few weeks back, actually.
Yeah, and AFB had no track record to prove it. It was just a gut thing for Sabs.
It was a gut thing. And he was going okay, but not spectacular. Mm. What a pick.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, and there was nothing there to actually suggest it. There were milder scores, and maybe, you know, he put some thought process into, well, his bad is still acceptable, but his ceiling is quite high, so I'm going to grab him. And that's the nature of the business, is we're going to find diamonds in the rough. Sometimes we take a roughie, sometimes we take a pod, sometimes someone's role gets better. I mean, it might be the Hopgood train again. He's been named at lock because RCG's out for a long term. So... there's lots of things that change in the game, and we all put calls out there. There's nothing personal. We're just having a bit of fun, and it's a fun game.
Exactly.
It's going to have a lot of banter.
So exactly. Just relax. Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, I think people can put two and two together there. Yeah. Wrong soundbite. Let's look at buy, hold, and sell for this week. I've done a couple. If you have any more to add, Ado, feel free to join in and let me know. But my buys this week are headlined by two Raiders boys, one being Joe Tarpany, the other one being Jared Croker. Let's talk on Joe Tarpany because I guess a lot of people are wondering where this chat's coming from, and this is, you know, nothing really to back it up. I mean, I think he's been, let's just put it bluntly, he's been poor, and he's still averaging 62. Look, last year, Ado, rounds 1 to 10, he averaged 48.1 minutes a game, very, very similar to what he's putting up now at 49. Now, fast forward to rounds 11 to 20, and I use 20 as the cutoff because he got injured in 21. He was averaging 56.8. So that's, what's that, 8 minutes a game increase? Oh, sorry, 6 minutes a game increase. And for him, that's like 10 points, man. So if we can get back to that, I mean, worst case scenario, what's the worst case? He plays 49 minutes and he averages 63? Oh, fuck, that's terrible. Ooh. But best case, we know what Joey Tarpany can do.
Yeah, I think it sort of seems like it's following the pattern where he sort of builds, I reckon, in the minutes. Look, I watch the games closely, and he just looks like he doesn't quite have... last year, he looked like he was on a mission. He doesn't look like he's on a mission this year. So, I don't know. I think you're looking at him as someone that's great for the buy coverage.
Absolutely.
He's got dual. He's definitely got to be somebody that, at his worst, he's going to score you 65.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, he's been so bad this year, and he's still putting up 62, 63. So, very, very, very happy with that. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Jared Croker, on the other hand, look, he's been named captain, Ado. I know that a couple of weeks ago we said that there was job security issues, and they're still not 100% there. But he's been named captain, and you're a Raiders fan. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you guys have looked better with him in the side.
Yeah, you know, the players, when he is in Reggie's, there's a lot of chat going to coach, get him in, get him back in, we'll play for Jared. They play for him. They lift when he's in there, and they get I think they get a snooty when he's not in the team, especially when if there's injuries in the main guys and there's a spot for him to come in. When Harley Smith Shields came in, it was probably next cab off the rank, I guess, as a younger guy, but they were asking for Croaks then. You know, they wanted him. So, look, I don't know if it's going to be long-term. That's the thing. He's kind of like George Bailey was. He came in and they brought him into the team first because he had captain abilities.
Oh, fuck. I was like, who the fuck is George Bailey? I didn't realize it's a cricket reference. I was like, who the fuck is George Bailey? I forgot about him.
He was more of a captain than he was a player. He turned out being a pretty serviceable player, but he was more of a captain. So Jared comes in, he's a good captain. I think he's good for the team. I think the job security is okay enough for you to take a punt on if it helps you to do moves in your team.
I don't know. People just expect Xavier Savage just to waltz back into this side as well. Like, they just expect him just to come straight back in. Ricky was very reluctant to play him last year. Got his chance because C&K, you know, was injured. And I don't know about you. I thought he was okay. I didn't think he cemented his spot by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, that's the other thing too, is that Jared's been pretty good since he's been in. Defensive issues that he's had in the past. So he's sliding better. And he's been, we've won a couple with the goals, haven't we? So he's a really good goal kicker. So
absolutely.
I just don't see him going in a hurry. I think it's like, I know when you're nearly heading up towards three games, it's your spot to lose, but he's in. The players love him. The Canberra fans love him. So I reckon it's going to take a bit. He's going to have to take a real bum. He's got to bum it up somehow, real bad.
And look, morale in Canberra right now is already pretty low. You'd hate to ruin it even more with dropping Croaks. But he scored 40 and 40, and he hasn't had any attacking stats. A goal kicking centre, you know, the attacking stats, they're not going to be every week. He's not Val Holmes. Let's not say that he is. But, you know, when they come, it'll be a 65-70, and you just need that to generate that cash. I think he'll be a more consistent Paul Alamotti, just pumping out those 40s, gets the occasional attacking stat, has a good game here or there, probably not going to be playable. He might be playable in this week when, you know, everyone's out. But apart from that, yeah, I don't really hate the shout at all. Anyone else that really sticks out to you as a slam dunk buy? On Instagram, I did chuck out Toafua Sipley. You know, I think his minutes have been fine. He's, you know, 300K. He's done a 51 and a 63. Yep. I think he's a good Stefano if you're jumping off Stefano. So,
yep, I'd say up good.
Yeah. See, he's one that I really, really want.
talking about Parramatta players that you want.
Absolutely.
Reg is out for like 6 to 8, isn't he?
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a week. I don't think he's going to punish me too bad. Definitely give it a week. If I see him playing 65 minutes again, then straight away I'm all over him. I'm all over him more than Maddo, just because the price will sort of work towards Maddo. But yeah, like, he's been really good. I think Maddo is a guy that I'll end up buying on round 13 when I know what's happening with Fifita. Like, if Fifita gets called into Origin, very, very easy point to move off. But yeah, Hopgood, man. Like, Hopgood, he just needs the minutes. And now that Reg is out, Wiramu Greg is another one that could be a good shout. Another one of these guys I do want to wait a week on. You know, Bunty Afoa, Josh Curran, Tom Allais, like there's you know, a few options in the canister. And if you want to pull the trigger early, go for it. I'm just going to be someone that's going to sit back on the sidelines and we'll try and snipe them off next week.
Yep. Fair enough.
Absolutely. I'm just quickly looking at the sort of top 10 most bought because it'll give me a good idea of who people are bringing in. Tyrell Sloan is the number one option. Now, Sloan's an interesting one, Ada, because if you look at his scores, it's either under 20 or over 70. So the first half an hour of the game is going to be very telling for him, but I'm glad to see him doing well. Another one is Robert Jennings. Now, I know he's had two okay scores. You would expect Tessie New comes back into the side in probably a week or two. I'm not sure if I'm loving that. Are you still on the Manu train? If people, you know, didn't buy last week, you still happy to jump on this week?
Yeah, I think so. Look, we said, last week it was a move where I wasn't bringing in around 13 player, but if your numbers are good for the buys and you're looking pretty in good shape, I would happily grab Manu this week. If you're in dire straits, maybe you don't have that luxury.
Let's quickly talk on the Goss, Jack Gosecki, 246K, named on the edge. Last week was okay. I'll have to pull up his score. So,
didn't you learn anything from Granville?
He played 80 minutes and scored 47. It's not awful for 246K.
Yeah.
He's doing more than Schuster at the same price, who also hasn't been named. I forgot to mention that one. So the Goss, if you look, I think he's a fine downgrade option. Also, don't disrespect Granville. He scored 41 points. It's more than Sonny Luke. More than Sonny Luke, thank you very much, and more than fucking Reid Marnie, I'll tell you that right now. Let's move into the holds, because I've got the Melbourne boys, Grant Munster, Meany. Are you in agreeance here?
Yeah, I'm holding Grant. He's the only one of those three that I have. I'd have no reason to sort of move him on. Meany's been terrific, although what's going to happen? Paps is due soon.
I still think Paps is like at least a month away, surely.
I mean, he's terrific. I wouldn't be getting rid of him.
No. And do you think Paps just comes straight back in, or do you think they put him through cup for, you know, a month or so?
I don't know.
Meany's got no reason to be dropped or moved to the wing, sorry.
I mean, maybe they bring him on as a utility.
I think that'll have it might have a big ripple effect, because maybe Warbrick is the one that does drop out when Pappenhausen's back. But, you know, we'll touch that. So Munster, Meany, Grant, you know, we're in agreement of holding. How about Payne Haas?
Yeah. Well, I was looking at, I mean, I want to hold him. He is a hold. Of course he's a hold. It's only a week.
The thing is, though, in this current week, when everyone's out, it makes it harder to have 800K on the bench, doesn't it? Like, willingly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, I look at my team and I go, with everybody that's going to be out, where are the two places where I'm fucked? My spot out of my center wingers. And in my front row, I had a plan to always do this move of Haas for when he gets to Origin to go to Tappany. And down in the center wings, I've got Warbrick, I can move him right now. So with the extra money I get from that Haas down to Tappany, with a little bit of cash that I've got, I can get up to someone else.
Yeah.
Who I can pump into the old center wingers. So, look, ideally I try to hold him, but I'll have a fiddle. Maybe I'll go Hopgood instead and just play big Ben Murdoch Masilla. Oh,
big 45 point Ben. Let's talk about the cells. I've got two Warriors boys here. Tohu Harris, you know, he's re-aggravated that MCL. Like, I don't know how long he's going to be out for. You think the Warriors would be smart enough now with the second time around to hold him back? You know, they'll get Mitch Barnett back in due time. So there's, you know, some more middle reinforcements. Josh Curran's coming in as well. So I think they can afford to potentially just hold him back a little bit. So for me, he's a sell. As is Charles Zucker-Cluckstar, you know, one of your favorites on the pod. You recommend him as a buy a few.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Times it must hurt to see him in the sell column, but he's going to be playing, what, one game in the next 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's a pity. I mean, I got him in and got a couple of good, nice price rises out of it. He's got decent enough value now. I think that that's the thing. You know, he definitely has to be more hold than CNK, surely, because they're close enough in money that one's gone for 3 weeks and one's gone, you know, for one. So, and one's probably got better scoring ability in them as well, haven't they, in a dead spot. So, yeah, I think I agree with you, actually, because I didn't take into account the bye.
Yeah.
And I heard about the fact that they've got the two games in 11 games, so that in 11 days, so he's going to miss those two. But, yeah, you got the bye straight after. He is around 13 number, though, so...
Well, that's the thing. So what, he's going to be out rounds 9, round 10, plays 11, out 12, plays 13. So it's like two games in 5 weeks is, you know, not great.
Yeah, it's not ideal. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to probably agree with you on that, just because it's going to be too many games in a short space of time. A
couple of others. Let's quickly talk on them. Eli Katoa. Now, he's got the buy this week, currently priced at 545k. Owners have done very well out of him. Is now the time to move off Eli Katoa, or is he still, you know, a season-long hold? Because he's going to be out for a week with the HIA and the bye, thankfully, so it doesn't correlate too much. Is he still a season-long keeper for you, or is, you know, 545, you're not going to get too greedy, you're going to jump off him?
Yeah, I think if I had got him, which I didn't, I think there was probably thoughts that he wasn't always going to be a season-long hold. Was there?
I don't know, but after round 6, round 7, like, he was averaging 70 points a game, and he was looking like, you know, that good bench option come the end of the season.
Well, how's he going lately?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we've seen flashes of it. Last game, I'm happy to write off because of the HIA. The game before that wasn't fantastic, but we've seen him be at that keeper status, so it's sort of between that rock and the hard place. I probably wouldn't.
Just say you've got enough money in their bank to go straight to a Matto or.
Oh, yeah, that's. If you were stuck between, say, a Katoa and a Hopgood, then I'd probably just hold Katoa for a week and get an assessment of Hopgood. But there's a couple of others. A couple of other big boys that have been sold. One of them is Tom Trbojevic. Now, what are we thinking with Turbo? He's still averaging, you know, nearly 70 points a game, but the last 3 weeks have not been ideal. Famously benched him
He looks slower than Gerbo.
But that's the thing, though. Like, he looked shocking the week before. He had the hit point of the week before the Storm and looked shocking. Looked fucking unreal against the Storm. Only scored a 55 or whatever, but looked unreal. Like, carrying the ball with menace. And then last week, what do we do? Like, I was listening to the Magic Sponge podcast last night in bed, like the NRL physio does. And he made a really good point. Like, it's just so uncertain. Like, Manly, the diagnosis just seems to change every week. And we saw this with Josh Schuster. You know, Josh Schuster was a minor knee cork, a minor quad cork. And then that turned into 3 weeks on the sideline. Turbo was a hip pointer that required injections. Then it was back spasms. Then it's this. Then it's that. The problem that I see is, what fucking fullbacks are there? Like, Latrell's got a pretty gross draw coming into Origin. I ain't buying Reece Walsh, you know, with the draw that the Broncos have. Who else is there? Teddy, maybe, but then he's off to Origin. Scott Drinkwater. I mean, but the draw for the Cowboys isn't great. Like, I'm not seeing any love, and it's just hard. And I feel like this week, with a million people out, like, surely people have other issues.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, unless people want to go and throw, but if they've got a Garrick up in the centres and they want to use it like that. But I just, I reckon... fullback's one of those spots where they can score extremely well. Turbo looks like he's not well, but I'm going to hold him.
It's just that it's the fear factor, isn't it?
He's going to go to Origin necessarily.
Oh, surely, if he's fit, he plays. Fuck, I hope he doesn't. Well, I mean, as a Queenslander,
if you throw Trell in there, you've got probably the actual real form centre player, a winger of the centre of the in the NRL to pick to to put in instead. He's. Do you reckon that you would? Do you reckon Turbo's up to Origin right now? Or at what we've seen so far this year?
No. But in saying that, it's like even 80% Turbo is better than
we've said. If they're fit, you pick them for Origin. And no matter what position, but he's not fit.
Yeah, see, I'm a Queenslander, so I'm kind of like, yeah, pick an injured Turbo on I'm the same. Sure they will. On the I'm same. Sure on the will, same. Yeah.
When they're getting run down by Uitikamano.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he's up to Origin.
And the last one that I quickly want to discuss is William Warbrick. Now I'm in a position myself between selling Warbrick or selling Taruva. I think the Brick's done his job. I think he is 402k. I mean, he's made 200,000. Great. Doesn't. Cover amazing buy coverage. It seems like he doesn't have that monster ceiling in the center wing like a Lofi Khan Pereira, for example, if you're still holding him. But yeah, the Brick. What are we doing with Big Bill Brick?
Yeah, I'm fucking the Brick off. He doesn't score well enough for me. But look, he's done his job. Like you said, he's made a couple hundred thousand.
Oh, he's made 200k. Like, he's fine. Yeah, but he's just not a playable option. I'm not keeping 400k just sitting
there.
And
now that Targo's out, maybe Taruva might get a pass every now and then.
Maybe.
Peaches a hog as well.
Mate, Peachy's a 5'8", so he'll pass it. Let's talk about the week that just happened between you and I.
Yeah.
All right. I think I've had 4 red arrows in a row, which is not ideal. However, my red arrows have been small, nothing drastic. Currently ranked at, 6,759, about 300 points outside the top 1K for reference, which is still fine. I think this week should go okay for me. I don't have too many concerns, thankfully. We rounded off with a 1,095 headlined by a Val 100 and Nico, Captain Nico. So that was, nice.
Yeah, you lucky prick. Did you
I think I VC'd fucking Dylan Brown, but we were never looping.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. You got Hines. Well done. Look, yeah, for me, I finished with the 1-1-1-2, which was nice. Updated.
Considering you're Captain Turbo, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's with the Captain Turbo. That's got me up, some green arrows for a few weeks now in a row. I'm into 8,969. It just makes me think about that week that I had a shocker where I went from 3,000 down to 10,000 and annoyed me because I'm sort of clawing my way back slowly but surely. I was the same as you. I had, Val in there. It was good to see him, looking sizzling, and doing the Val things that we saw from last year. What else did I have that was good? Obviously, I grabbed Manu.
Josh Uso obviously was pretty good for you too.
Yeah, good on you, Josh.
I benched forward for Schuster.
Did I even play him? I played him.
Yeah, I benched forward for Schuster. Fucking hell.
I played Schuster. Who else did I play that was a bum? All of them. No.
Brian Toe, he was not great.
Yeah. I got a 30 out of someone. Yeah, Reese Walsh. Woo! I mean, we were asking about whether...
Finally, vindication after fading the kid for fucking 7 weeks. Finally.
He's got a hard matchup this week as well. So it'll be... This week will be really... Look, 38. It wasn't in... That's what Turbo got, didn't he? Who in the fullback did better,
Lachie Miller, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, good on you. So, let's have a look at him this week. It's not an easy matchup, so let's have a look because I really think he's not going to go off to Origin, and he is definitely around 13 numbers. So,
Walshy,
not going to be in any hurry to move him. Yeah,
I don't think he plays Origin either, to be honest. Just quietly.
Yeah. So, look, that's all about it really for my team last week. I'm just happy just to get the green arrows, keep moving up. C&K and Haas is a bit of a pain in the ass this week. All I had was Grant, so I was probably in really good shape until those things. So I should be all right this week.
Absolutely. You lot are really, really slacking on these because it's now round 9 and we do about 3 hot takes a week and not one of them has come off. So let's try and break the curse. The first one, Jacob S. Gutherino outscores Walsh this week.
Yeah, that's who are the Eels got?
Someone. They have a footy team.
Yeah, I don't know who they got.
They have, if my NRL app wants to load, because it's incredibly slow. The Eels play the Knights and the Broncos play the Bunnies, both on Friday night. So we'll get this one out
We'll get this one out of the way nice and early. Yeah, look, it's a tough matchup. And Gutho, he's a flat track bully, but I don't think that's what you're going to get from the Knights this year. So I want to say that one doesn't.
I think this is like a 50 versus like 40 kind of affair.
Yeah, going to be a tight one.
The next one, and the reason why I've specifically included this one is because, as I've said, not one of these correct predictions has paid off this year. And it's Isaac, NRL, saying Turbo under 50. So I'm really hoping that the curse continues and none of these hit. But Turbo under 50, I mean, I can see it happening, but surely not. Yep. Surely.
I think he's right because I think it's going to be none. It's going to be
You reckon it'll be a duck egg?
I reckon he's not going to play. Oh. So, yeah, Isaac will be...
I think super coaches will love that because Ruben Garrick's been named at centre. So, fuck, if we can get Garrick back to fullback, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
And well, that leads into the next one, Moz, with a Garrick 80-plus even at centre. So, hedging his bets here. I think 80-plus if he's at fullback, but even at centre, it's a a big, big call.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I mean, I was really sad when I saw that they named him from wing into the centre. Oh, I just don't know what to expect because there are some good centres, you know. Joey Marnie had a ripping year. I mean, we prefer him at 5'8". So that's just one of those things. I just can't see him scoring better at centre than he did on the wing, but time will tell how he does score in centre.
Absolutely. Fuck, captains are slim this week. I've written down three good matchups, and that's kind of it. And one of them probably might not even play. I've got Hines as a VC/C, obviously. The way my team is looking, I'm probably going to end up seeing on the first night, and I hate that. I fucking hate captaining the Thursday night game, but it looks like it's going to be the way.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning towards it as well because, like I said, the mail that I'm getting is not like... lifting my spirits on Cleary because I like that matchup for him as well. And then I probably get a bit of VC play as well. But look, you know, there's those ones where you're like, well, if there's anyone that you, it's not as risky a move to do on a Thursday night, Hines is the
player. Oh, mate, like Hines will, if Hines gets less than 60, I'll donate $250 to whatever charity. But he's that kind of guy that would just shit points out. And like, yeah, I mean, if Hines gets a 70, it's not the end of the world, is it? Because this week there is not a whole lot here that stands out to me, apart from Cleary C, and that's got huge fucking asterisks against it, against the Tigers.
Yeah.
Manu, and that's kind of it, really. I mean, Fifita against the, what are they called? The bloody Manly team. But I think he's defending against Hamole. No, I think they might be on opposite sides. But yeah, there's not much. I mean...
I just hope there's people that just go and throw it straight out there on Hines and then Cleary and Turbo, you know, get left out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like Turbo is obviously a good shout if he plays, but it's a brave man to captain Turbo in the form he's in. So I'm really just hedging my bets on Nico Hines, mate. I don't know. I don't really know about you.
Yeah, I'm going to probably do the same thing. If I get some mail that Cleary's going to play, I'm going to go him.
Ah, yeah. What if he doesn't kick again? Like, what would you do if Nico, if you find out that Cleary plays, I would love to be a fly on your wall when you find out that Cleary plays, you captain him, and they cross over, a Brian Toe sensational try, or a Sonny Taruva try, one of the two, and then you just look there, and it's just Stephen Crichton with the fucking tee in the hand.
Well, he probably will be kicking. I'm going to probably just go Nico.
Yeah, smart.
I'm just going to go Nico.
Just play the numbers.
I like to do it on Thursday night. I like to get a slice of VC stuff.
Yeah, I hate captaining.
It just seems stupid to me to VC him because obviously that takes the only other person I really want to do, and that is Cleary. So I'll probably end up just doing Hines.
Absolutely. Smart, man. Let's talk about our trades this week. For me, it's pretty nice and simple, really. It's Lindsay Smith, great servant of my team. He's been there for all of two fucking weeks. He is gone, as is William the Brick Warbrick. Going to run the gauntlet with Sonny Taruva. I'm going to hold on to him. And we're going to bring in Jared Croker, short of that center wing. And we've got a lot of money to play with. And I think everyone knows where I'm spending it. Going to be bringing in the Kiwi International dual position Raiders forward. I was going to make a joke of Corey Hadawira Naira there, but he's probably not dual, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, we're bringing in Tarpany. Probably, I've got six... 670 to spend. So Maddo's out of budget, and there's no one else really that I want. So happy to wait on Maddo. And Maddo, like I said, will probably be a Fifita swap in if he does go off to Origin.
Yep. I mean, and he only scored, 60 points last week. Wasn't that exciting to get Maddo in? Yeah, look, for me, I was probably looking at Haas, but I think now that we've had a chat, see, you and I don't really talk a lot of Supercoach.
No, we talk a lot of shit, but Supercoach is not normally one of them.
So, yeah, I'll probably rethink my selling Haas. I'll probably think about C&K now. I want to get Tuppany too because, you know, obviously I lose Haas this week, and I've got Gilbert and Ben Murdoch-Mosilla and Davey Mawali. Those are my choices. So I think getting – if I can hold Haas and get Tuppany – this week by, you know, through chance, maybe.
Mate, if you can have Haas and Tarpany, you're done.
You're in good shape.
Look, I've got Max King and Tarpany. That's probably the next best outside of Haas, I would say. And I'm probably, Haas is probably be gone. Like, I'll never spend 800K on a front row forward. Haas is probably done.
There's probably a world where I can do that. I'll just have to do some fiddling. So trade two. Originally, I was thinking of getting the brick out and getting in a Herbie.
Yeah, I saw that you messaged me about Herbie. I was like, where the fuck does this come from?
Plays round 13.
He does.
He's the only one to afford it. Right?
Also the most attractive man in the NRL, and I will die on that statement.
Reece Walsh. But anyway, you look at his scores. He's very Vell-like. It's like 50, 40, 60, 70s. He doesn't have
I'm really hating this because I want him to fucking tank, and I wanted the Hammer to tank really bad too. So then Herbie was like 300K next year playing fullback for the Dolphins, but it doesn't look like it's happening.
So he looks good. The only downside for him is the Broncos are into their sort of tough draw. So look, I'm probably going to – that's going to be where I change. So second trade, don't know. But I'm going to make him because – I need him to find a playable 17 this week.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, look, I've got others. You know, I could play Croker,
Dave Mawali.
I could play Couchman.
Fucking Couchman. Oh, mate, what a chap he was.
43. He's outscored Granville, did he?
Yeah, shut up. Like, yeah. Hey, he covers... Hey. Granville outscored Sonny Luke, and that's the only agenda that I'm pushing, that Granville is better than Sonny Luke.
I'm playing Sonny Luke this week, so we're going to need a ripping game out here. Oh, actually... Did you say that old mate, the hooker's out?
Yeah,
this week?
Kenny is, I think Kenny's the one with the most doubt over him. So Sonny, fucking Sonny Luke owner's been kissed on the dick. Fuck you.
Getting a kiss on the dick. Love it. Oh, yeah, so that's probably going to be my trades. I'm going to get a second one just so that I can have the Haas and Tappany front row because looking at that every week will get me horny.
Wrong one. All right, let's do a couple of pod questions. I got some pretty good ones this week. Really insightful ones. The first one comes from Zip Dog. Is 5 premium center wings the go-to option this year with the high upside, or 4 premium 2RFs with more that are more viable? I struggle to name you 4 premium 2RFs this year, to be honest. Like absolute premiums. Like Maddo, Fifita, Crickets.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing someone.
Yeah, Kaloa Matangi was good before he got injured. You know, Gus has gone back to the bench this week. He might warm up and get there. Murray's had some low ones in him. Is probably hasn't looked as premium as he's been in the past. I agree. I reckon even getting it to 4 is essential because getting one of those rancid sort of horrible floor ones in there is killing your score. But I would be, you know, I'm trying to get it to 4.
See, I've got if we're going to count Lachie Miller as a centre wing because he's currently a centre wing in my team, I've got Holmes, To'o, Garrick, Manu, Miller, and apart from maybe Mazu, I don't really know what other centre wings I'd want. Maybe Ronaldo if he can learn how to put the ball down the fucking inside the line.
Yeah, you know, and you've got Val.
I do have Val.
Yeah, so I mean, look, if you can get to 5. For sure.
I have 5 if we're going to count Miller. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, that's right. I mean, so maybe that 5th is Miller. And look, I was going to get a Farnworth. I think that's more – that he's not a premium, but I think he's very serviceable. So I think the question of do you just have the 4 and then – because, I mean, when you ever really reserve one of them, if you know, you're probably putting him in other spots. You put your half, you put your – fullback, and you've only got 2 spots up for grabs.
Well,
so
let me – I'll read you out the top 5 2RFs by average. Britton Okoro with a 77.4, Dave Fifita with a 77, Hosking with a 73.8, but that's massively inflated. Then you go into Ryan Madison with a 72.8, and then you go into Keon Kolomatangi with a 68.7, and he's out. So, yeah, we're looking at high 70s to low 70s for your truly elite guys. Center wing, on the other hand, Tautau Moga? Are we gonna classify Tautau Moga as the top centre?
He's injured already after his
game. Greg Marzu with an 85, Braden Burns with an 85, but that's only playing one game. Nick Meaney with an 80. Jermaine Asako averaging 77 points. Wowee. Campbell Graham averaging 76. Lockie Miller averaging 74. So I just think with the upside that those guys possess as well, I think a bad game for Lockie Miller is a 40, whereas a bad game for Fifita is probably like a 55. And then the upside of Miller to Fifita is, you know, I'd probably have that in the centre wing camp. So yeah, probably premium centre wings are the way to go. And I didn't realise Jermaine Asako was averaging north of 75.
Yeah. We keep waiting for the bubble to burst.
I don't think it's coming. The next question.
Raiders this week, so it won't happen this week.
Next question with the best username on all of my Discord. Velcro Wallet Guy. Who was the go-to fullback during the Origin period? And I wanted to put one to you, Ado. Parramatta play rounds 13, 16, 19. They need the X Factor. The X Factor is Clint Gutherson. I think he could be the Matt Duffy of like a couple of years ago. The guy that you bring in during Origin because you know he's going to play and scores you 65 points.
Gutho can go on runs of games when he's up and about. And if it's a run of decent games, he'll score well. I'm going to say Rhys Walsh could. If they get out of this hard draw, the Broncos.
I just think Parra have been kissed on the cock because they play all three major buyers, and I think that's just so crucial. Am I going to buy Gutherson? Probably not. However, if you do need a fullback, I think he could be the guy. Just serviceable. Gutho's an effort player, so he probably won't go below, say, a 35. Probably doesn't have the Will Kennedy upside of a whopping 3 tries for no 100. However, you know, I think Gutho could be the guy just because of the draw and, you know, Parramatta play all three buys. Apart from Rhys Walsh, any other ones or that sort of it?
No, I think that's probably it. C&K, he might go all right. He's, you know, doing all right, but he has a low one in him as well. So, nah, it's not a lot.
Yeah. AO Steez says, is Hop God back?
Well,
I want to wait. Just give me a week.
Well, Reg is out. And there's no debating that. He's straight back into the lock position. Matto's off to the second row. That's what we were hoping when we were all loving.
The Cardi party, it's officially over.
It's officially over.
It's been a fun 8 weeks.
Yeah. You can't party forever, surely. I mean,
I don't know, man. I've met you.
Yeah, I mean, I was partying last week when we were on the podcast. I was off my tits, but I'm sober. Look, non-alcoholic beers. Man.
Relatively. As sober as can be. But yeah, look, with Hopgood, you're a brave man to bring him in this week. Let me just say that. You're a brave, brave man. Hey, I brought TPJ inside unseen, so take what I say with a grain of salt. However,
yeah, but I mean, what's Hopgood been scoring off the bench?
Is he like mid-50s, I think, without looking?
Yeah.
While you pull up his scores, I'll give my thoughts. Just because I can see the upside, I can see the merit in it. I also see the merit in just waiting a week and seeing like what happens with Wiramu Greg, because we remember rounds 1, 2, and 3, like, Brad Arthur's bench rotation was fucking wild. Like, it was just
mental. That's the thing about him. He's a weird bloody coach, and he does weird.
However, I do think our mate Hands is low, entering into more minutes, so therefore that's less minutes taken up by, the middle forward. So I can see the appeal. Yep.
All right. Well, over the last 4 weeks, it's been a 47, a 48, a 61, a 43. And so the minutes,
what I mean.
The worst they, it was, minutes were 62, 52, 70, and then 45 last week. Mm. So he was going at a point per minute last week as well. So he was busy when he was out there. So I reckon you'd have to think he's at least going to go back up to 50, 60 minutes from that 45. And if he does that, he's going to score 60 points, I reckon.
Yeah, but then, like, I feel like a lot of ifs. A lot of ifs have to happen for you to score 60 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're taking a gamble on 100 points.
Well, you got good minutes to start the year because there was.
I'm 100% agree. I'm in agreement with you. I want to wait a week. I just think it's the smarter play.
Yeah, who is he playing? Newcastle into the Gold Coast and then the Raiders. It's not the worst.
Oh, I don't give a fuck about the draw. I just don't trust old 74 bowls of water Brad Arthur over there.
Yeah,
I don't trust him as much as I trust fucking Ricky Stewart with Joe Tarpany. Yeah.
And his break even is 55, so you can definitely get a look for a week for sure.
I do think that as well. Hey, let's round up with probably my favorite part of the week is doing our tips, and I'm getting fucking spooned. You've got 39 correct, I've got 34 correct. My missus is fucking beating me. And my missus thinks Nathan Cleary sucks because his last name's Cleary and gets preferential treatment from his dad. So this is the kind of competition that I'm dealing with. And I'm getting fucking, I'm getting shafted. Let's have a look at the round nine tips. Round nine, game one, Nico Hines led Cronulla Sharks up against a resurgent North Queensland Cowboys at Shark Park.
I think that the Sharks have got this one in the bag.
I also think the Sharks have this one in the bag. I've got to pick a margin. I've got to pick up by eight. Okay, the Parramatta Seals up against the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Eels in this one. The Knights have been plucky. Ponga's back to start this week as well. I'm just going to go with the home team on this one. They play pretty good there at Combank.
Up in Suncorp, we have the Brisbane Broncos taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs, the Adam Reynolds Cup. The Broncos without Ezra Mann, without Payne Haas, without Corby Oates. I'm going to lean towards the Bunnies.
On the same, actually. It's a bit of a grudge match. I know it's not Seabold-esque or whatever, but it's always a game that they sort of go hard at, these two teams. It's a big loss, Haas, I reckon. Particularly for their sort of go forward, and he really rumbles them up the field.
If you're
a
Carrigan owner, you're pretty happy with this matchup.
Yep, because he's going to go gangbusters this week. I'm going to tip the Bunnies in this as well. I think they look pretty good to me, the Bunnies.
Get your milk out versus Finns up. The Raiders versus the Dolphins in Canberra.
Dubbo.
In Dubbo. Fucking hell. I am going to take... You can't let the Titans put 26 points on you. I don't care that you come back. You can't fucking let the Titans put... Up the milk. We're going to go the milk.
Yep, I'm going to say the Raiders in this one. I was really shitty that we lost to them in the first one, a few rounds back. So I just hope that the team, the Raiders, at least go out and say, oh, look, we don't all hate each other, and Jack Whiten's going to actually pull his finger out and have a go. So I want to tip the Raiders.
The Titans give me no confidence. Them versus Manly. I don't care. You could... Morgan Harper at fullback. I'm probably still going to pick the Manly Seagulls here.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the... can we say if Turbo plays...
Yeah, I was going to say, as it stands now, I'm picking Manly, and if Turbo's out, I will probably still pick Manly, but it's not
Turbo's going to play, so I'm going to tip the Titans.
All right, I need to get a leg up on you. In Bathurst, the Penrith Panthers are... $1.10 favorites in a two-horse race against the Tigers. Fucking hell. Hey, what was it? I think when the Panthers were like 16-0 2 years ago, we ended the streak when they rested half their team. However, I don't care who plays for the Penrith Panthers. They're going to win.
Yeah, I think they will. I'm tipping the Panthers.
Our attack is just so shit.
Yeah, it's no good.
We're just so shit. Yeah. I was actually looking at buying John Bateman, then he just fucking ruined my dreams on the weekend with a shit score. So did Isaiah Papali'i, so not great. Let's go on Warriors up against the Sydney Roosters.
Yeah, this is at Mount Smart, eh? I reckon they've lost a few with the fullback there in Tohu. The Warriors, so I want to tip the Roosters.
I will also tip the Roosters in this one. And the last game of the round, the Dragons up against the Bulldogs. Off the back of their gutsy Anzac Day performance, I'm going to tip the Dragons.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds is back.
Oh, mates. Everyone was hoping for Carl. What, Carl O?
Carl Owapu.
Yeah.
Can Reynolds even play 80 minutes now? I don't think
he could. Oh, mate. Matt Burton is fucking pulling his hair out.
I would not be surprised if Carl comes in and maybe he starts off the bench, but I reckon he'll come into the lineup and he'll play decent minutes.
Yes.
A bit of smoke and mirrors there, I reckon. But I'm going to still tip the Dragons. I think that they were plucky last week. There's a bit I like about what I see from the Dragons, actually. So... I think they'll, at Wynn Stadium there, I think they might get the job done.
Absolutely. Well, that is round nine in the books. Done and dusted. Ado, I will see you back on Tuesday, thankfully. There's no cheeky buggers from the Anzac Day around.
Exciting. We've just got this one day, and then we're straight into footy tomorrow.
Oh, how good is it? It was weird. Sunday footy, no footy Monday. Tuesday footy, team list Tuesday on a Wednesday, then we're straight back in for footy tomorrow.
Yep, we're going to just burn our captains on the Thursday game. What's the fun of the weekend for us?
Exactly. There's nothing like captaining your there's nothing like putting your captaincy on the bloke that plays in the last game, so you can go from where it says league's leading and it says none from 10, and it's either still none from 10 or it's 10 from 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I was tied in two last week as well. They're big cashy ones, and I got the chocolates in both of those, so I sent a couple of these over to people as well. Which, see, I put that as point 10, just a bit of friendly banter. Up yours, your mother.
I also put a few of these ones on Twitter, but other people didn't respond so kindly. However, this has been the Round 9 Preview. I've been your host, the SE Whisperer, joined, as always, by, there he is, SE Adrianosaurus. Catch the socials below. We'll see you all on the flip side. Hopefully Nico Hines puts on another 180-point masterclass.